Good afternoon, everyone. It's just after 1 o'clock on a beautiful, that's a PM, on a beautiful afternoon. It's sunny, it's a little bit breezy, but after the last couple of days, we had so much rain. It's a lovely breath of air. It was pretty cold this morning, though. Why do we always talk about the weather? That's not really what I'm here to talk about. I am going to call this definitely no peace for the wicked. I think I had a no peace for the wicked in the past, and sometimes I try not to repeat the titles, but sometimes you can't help it. I think it's a long way back, probably more than a year ago. Definitely no peace for the wicked. Where do I start? Okay. Last night, I haven't been sleeping well again. When I was on holiday, I would sleep about between 4 and 5, and Obi would wake me at 8 or 9, get up and go to breakfast, and that was it. I could survive on like a few hours sleep. Since I've come home, my sleeping has gone later again. It's gone put back to anything between 6 and 8.30, and it's not proper sleep then. It's just like, I can't explain it any more than to say it's very kind of restless sleep. The slightest thing wakes me up, but more than anything, my own moving around wakes me up. I'm very restless. I get too hot in one place. I can't explain it. It feels like the bed where I'm laying on is too hot for me to keep still on. If Obi's on early and he gets up to go to work, I will move over his side of the bed, because once he's been out of it for a while, it's cold, and then I'll usually fall in to a proper sleep. He's been on late since we've been back. My proper sleep's usually between about 8.30 and 11.30 to 12, and that's it. That's the amount of sleep I'm running on at the moment, which isn't enough, but it's better than nothing. Last night was the pits of all pits. I couldn't sleep. I was awake all night. I was itching as well, which hasn't been as bad, but that all started up again, even when I was asleep. So before I went to bed, well, I go to bed, but I just don't sleep. I listen to my Audible book most of the night. I've finished The Ivory Carvers by Sue Harris, and I'm now reading another series by her, a trilogy called The Storytellers. just for your information, Connor came to me. Yes, he's been away for a week. He's actually come home. He came to me, said, "Mum, my phone's broken. He's got a 5C. I said to him, "Well, do you want to try my 4S? And he said, "I don't think I can, because I tried Ronan's once before when something happened to my phone, and it's a different SIM card. He had a 4, Ronan. So I said, "Well, you can try it, but I think you're right. I don't think the 4S's card is going to fit your phone." So he tried it and it didn't. So he said to me, he doesn't know what he's going to do about it, but can I wake him up at 5.30? And I said, "Well, I'll probably still be awake." As it happened, I did doze off. I think it was about 5.15. So I did set an alarm just in case, because I didn't want him to be late for work. So I got him up. I was sort of dozing. I heard him leave. And then I had a fitful bit of sleep for a couple of hours on and off. But I kept waking up because I was too hot, and I kept scratching, and I kept having to sit up and all this. And then when I would go into my normal sleep, what happened was first of all, the Any Old Iron truck came round. Now, that normally comes, I mean, this is just sod's law, because it normally comes round on a Tuesday. So all of a sudden I'm laying there, ding, 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 Any Old Iron! Yeah, so I thought, oh God, what day is it? And then I thought, well, it's Wednesday. He doesn't come round today. And then it sounded like in my heart, my drowsiness, like about 10 trucks came up the road. And they just seemed to, I don't know what they were doing. They'd have their engine running for a while and then they'd drive off. And then I thought, oh, I might be able to get a bit of sleep. And then the council sent the lawnmowers and the tractors or whatever they used to cut the green across the road. And they were doing it for about 2 hours. And it was so loud because it's only literally opposite the end of our driveway. So I thought, there's no peace for the wicked. Now, on top of all this, last night when I went to do my final dialysis exchange, fluid exchange, I went to take out my line, which is the tube that comes out of my abdomen, and it's got a disinfection cap on the end. It's a cap that screws onto the end of the line to shut it off so that no germs can get in, because that's a direct route to my insides. And the disinfection cap is so called because it has a little pad with soaked in iodine that disinfects the end of the cap, the end of the line. When I took it out to attach it to the organiser thing that I use, I was absolutely flabbergasted to find that the cap was not there. And of course, you're not meant to touch the end of it, but me not knowing that it was off, I touched it all and it had been on the bed and God knows what. And the other thing was, I didn't know how long it had been off. So I knew it's a trip to the hospital today. They class it actually as an emergency. I probably should have gone last night, but we don't have a car. To get a taxi is £38 to £40. I didn't even have any money in the house. I probably could have scraped together, but, you know, then you've got to get back. How do I get back? I haven't got £80 lying around or even to spare. So the other alternative would have been an ambulance. And they have told me that if ever I get cloudy fluid at night, I have to get an ambulance. But I hadn't got cloudy fluid. I thought, well, it'll be all right till the... Well, I hadn't, because it only just happened. Cloudy fluid means your body is fighting off an infection, and the fluid that comes out of your abdomen, which is what I've put in there, it's the artificial fluid, will be cloudy, like cloudy lemonade, is how they describe it, because it's white blood cells fighting off infection. And that's the first sign that you've got an infection, before you get really sick, and you can get really sick. So I left it till this morning, and of course I should have rung up at 9 o'clock, but I really wanted to try and sleep, so that's my own fault. But so I rang at 12. In between whiles, I had another problem with my tablets. I didn't like taking them. I'm not very good at swallowing tablets. I'm all right with capsules, I'm all right with small round ones, I'm all right with the film coated ones. But one of my blood pressure tablets they've given me, they're huge. They're absolutely huge. They're not film coated, so you can break them. I had to break it into about 5 bits this morning, and I swallowed it, and then it left my mouth up for about an hour and a half, tasting like I'd eaten poison. So I thought, I've had enough of this. I've had them for a week doing the same thing, and I said, I've had enough of this. So I thought it'd be an easy thing to ring the pharmacy to say, this is what's happened, can I swap them? So I asked if I could do that. He said, no, you can't. You've got to ring the doctor surgery. They've got to issue another prescription and tell us that not to issue that this particular brand. You need to find out the name of the brand and the colour of the packet. So Obi told me the name of the brand. He said it was MYLAN, Mylan or Milan. And that it's a white packet with blue and black writing. So I got through to the doctor's centre. I spoke to the lady that does the prescriptions, and she said, oh, no, I can't do it. I'll have to get the duty doctor to call you back. So all morning, one of the reasons why I didn't ring the hospital yet was because I was waiting for him to call me back. It was the one I don't like, the one that, you know, frightened the hell out of me when I had those palpitations that time, which was now and a very fast heartbeat, which was, I can't believe, was actually 3 months ago. And I ended up in A&E. And so he rang me back eventually after about 2 hours. And he said, he put in, when I told him it's called Mylan, he put that in. He said, my tablets aren't coming up. It's two completely different ones. I must have got it wrong. There's some communication, some failure in the communication along the line somewhere. So he said I'd have to take it into the chemist, get them to have a look at it, and then get them to raise a query with the doctors. And I thought, oh, arseholes, I've had enough of this, I'll forget that for now. So I'm going to put it in my bag, and I'm actually going to try and sort it out at the hospital, get them to tell me exactly what brand it is and all that, and see if they can write to my doctors and say, can we change it, or write to the pharmacy and say, can we change this. So that was that. And then I eventually rang the hospital just before midday, I think it was, because I was dozing off to sleep, and I thought, you've got to wake up. You can't go to sleep now. Your time for sleeping's gone. So they started telling, because normally if you have to go in on the day, like an emergency like this, I can't book transport for it. I can't book transport. I have to get one of the nurses or the doctors to do it for me, whichever department I'm going to. But so she said, OK, she'd call them and she'd call me back. So she called me back and said, sorry, they can't do it. They don't do that anymore. You can't have patient transport on the day. She said, can you get a taxi up here? Because it's an emergency. You've already left it long enough. And I said, yeah, I know, but it was midnight. She said, you've got to treat it as an emergency. So I said, well, what do I do? I said, I haven't got the money for a taxi. And I said, no one else is around because Obi's got a day off, but he had gone out because he's got a lot of things to do. He's got today and tomorrow off, but he's got a lot to do today. And tomorrow we were going to just have at home taking the dogs out for a walk and stuff. Ronan's gone to the job centre and I had no, well, I didn't, Obi had some cash in the house that I didn't know, but so I couldn't even get like a taxi to the station and get the train on my own. So I don't really feel confident in doing that. But if the worst comes to worst, I'd have had to have done that. So Connor's at work. Ronan's not here. He's had to go to see a careers advisor at the job centre. And Obi's gone out already. So in the end, I thought, what do I do? I said, shall I try and ring the transport? She said, well, you can do, but I don't know what they're going to say to you. And I thought, yeah, I said to her, yeah, I dread to imagine, especially if I get that horrible bloke that I can't stand. So I thought, I'm not even going to do that. So I rung Obi and I said, what shall I do? You know, they've told me I've got to class it as an emergency. So he said, OK, we arranged that I'm going to meet him. I'm going to get a taxi. He told me where there's some money. I mean, we've got some a bit of savings here. It's not a lot. We're saving for something specific. But he told me somewhere else to look for some money and there's a £10 note. So I'm going to get a taxi, meet him at the station in a little while. And then we'll have to just get the train. So I'm not really looking forward to that. But if I've gone all the way down to Sussex, I can definitely do this. You know, because we didn't, you know, we went on two different trains and all that. This is only one train that takes about half an hour. And then it's about, well, it's only about a 5-minute walk from the station to the hospital. But the longest bit of the walk is actually once you get in the hospital. It's right down the other end. But, you know, so I'm just going to get ready now. I'm just going to make myself a cup of tea. I've got a bit of a stomach ache this morning. That can be a bit of a sign of infection. So they're going to pump me full of a load of antibiotics because that's what they do. What they'll do is drain my bag out, take some fluid from it to test it, send it to the lab to get tested. Then they will put a new bag in, which has been injected with a high dose of antibiotics, which will go straight into the abdomen. And then they also go into your bloodstream. And then they will give me an oral dose, which is a different antibiotic. I think there's two that go into the bag. There's two different ones. One's a one-off dose and the other one you have to have over a course of 15 days. Every 5 days you have another course, you know, the dose of it. So that means I've got a few trips coming up now, whether I like it or not. So, and then they give me the oral one. So I actually end up having three types of antibiotics because they don't know what kind of infection it could be. It could be anything if it gets contaminated. I mean, it might not do, but it's going to have touched the bed. I think, when I didn't know how long the cap had been off, but when I went to bed, I actually found the end of the cap on my bed. So I think as I took it out to connect it to the organizer, the cap came off then, but I didn't realize and I didn't know how long it had been off, so it could have been off longer than that and I just didn't notice because there's a clamp on the tube, so the fluid that's inside me can't come out anyway unless I'd knocked the clamp off, and then there would have been a disaster. It would have been all over the floor and everywhere. Luckily that didn't happen, but that would have been one step worse. But I don't think it had been off long, but they won't take that as an answer anyway, because even me, I've actually touched it with my hands and I had washed them and everything, but even so, they won't take any risks because it can be really, really serious. So they give you broad spectrum antibiotics covering pretty much everything, different ones that are good at different things so that it can, you know, knock out anything that decides to take root. Anyway, I'm off to make a cup of tea and get ready now, and I'll try and do a recording of me getting to the hospital on public transport, because I've never done one before, because I haven't been on public transport for 2 years. I actually think it was 2 years today that I last went on public transport to the hospital. on my own. No, that was on my own. I think I went with Obi once on the train. Yeah, I did. But yeah, I did definitely. But 2 years ago today, I went, I know, because I'd had some problems with Niall. He didn't like going down the hospital corridor anymore for some reason. He's fine again now. So I left it 3 months before I did it with him again. And I know it's the anniversary of that. I know I remember dates. I'm a bit sad like that. I can't help it. I don't deliberately think, oh, this is the anniversary, but it just sticks in my mind. But it was 2 years ago. I was having problems. Well, 2 years ago in June, I was having problems with him for some reason. He got really, really refusing to go down the corridor. We don't know why. And then I got... Yeah, it was awful, actually. I ended up in tears and really stressed out. I think it was because I wasn't well. My blood pressure was very low and I kept nearly passing out every time I stood up. And I just think he knew that there was something wrong with me and he lost the confidence, because he's the kind of dog that, you know, he wasn't the most confident dog when he was given to me. And I know I've brought out the best in him, but at that time, I probably shouldn't have been out on my own. Every time, even when I stood up on the train to get off the train that day, I nearly blacked out. So I think he... And when I got off the train, I had to stand still for a while just to get my, you know, self together. And I think it upset him, I think. I think he sensed that I was weak. So whether it upset him or whether he was just taking the piss because he thought he could get away with it because I wasn't up to strength, I don't know. I'd like to think that he was upset and he wasn't deliberately being a little sod. So anyway, I haven't done it with him just the once since then. I don't know when it was, December of that year, I think. And then I've been getting transport ever since, which has been the bane of my life. It'd be nice if I could get back to getting up there on my own. That would be a real achievement. A real achievement. Even if I get the transport back, getting up there, it would be really nice if I could have the strength and the confidence to actually do it on my own. I can see that it could happen. I haven't written that off at all, especially if I get a taxi to the station. I've just got to walk up. It's quite a long way and it's uphill to get to the station, but I can do that. I can do it, I know. And then I'm just trying to think, what's it like at Denmark Hill? Have I got to go up a load of steps? Yes, I have. Oh, there's a lift there, actually. So lift there now, that's quite a new thing. And then it's just a little walk down the road. It's a bit further than it used to be because they closed the old Denmark Hill entrance and they put it further down the main road, but it's not that far. It's not any different, really, because before you just came out of a side road and now you come out on the main road, but it's probably the same distance to walk it. They used to have a lovely kiosk at Denmark Hill station that sold really nice cake and coffee. And I'm really upset that that's gone now. I don't know whether there's another one anywhere in the station, but you had to pass it when you were going back. When I used to treat myself, when I was coming back from the hospital, I always used to stop there and get myself a piece of cake and a cup of coffee and then go down the stairs and eat it on the platform and drink it on the platform. Because usually I'd just miss a train because they're every half an hour. So I always used to treat myself. They had walnut and banana cake, fruit cake. I'm not really a cake person, but this used to be my treat. I think I've gone off them a lot since then. I'd have something like fruity banana. I shouldn't have been eating banana, should I? I suppose back then it wasn't so bad. But anyway, I think I'm going to upload this now because I've got to get ready. Seeing as I'm not really treating it like an emergency, am I? I'm being a bit too blasé and I don't want to end up bloody ill or unable to carry on. You can mess up your peritoneum if you get peritonitis, which is what the infection that you get if you get this sort of trouble. You can actually mess up the peritoneum and it gets ruined, and you can't do this type of dialysis anymore. It is really, really serious. I probably don't take it seriously enough, but I am taking it seriously. But, you know, it's just unfortunate that it happened at night like that, because otherwise I would have gone straight there. But anyway, I'm just rambling as usual, so I will upload this and I will speak to you all soon.